WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Dozens of Israeli hostages and more than 100 Palestinian prisoners were released over the weekend. There's one more exchange planned for today before a four-day ceasefire expires. Correspondent Tammy McCormick.
Relatives greeted freed Palestinian prisoners and Israeli hostages. And humanitarian groups would like the opportunity to get more relief supplies in. UNICEF's James Elder.
Literally, some people, as they get water, start drinking the water immediately. They are thirsty. They've been thirsty for days.
Hamas has signaled that it's willing to prolong the truce with Israel that entered its final hours today.
Police in Vermont are investigating a possible hate crime in the shootings of three University of Vermont students, all of Palestinian descent, in downtown Burlington. A suspect is expected to be arraigned today. Wafik Faour is with Vermonters for Justice in Palestine.
I've been calling my family every day, sometimes 10, 20 times, to know how are they, and today I received so many calls from my family members to ask me, how am I?
One of the students was seriously injured. Public school kids in Portland, Oregon will be back in class today for the first time in 3 weeks after teachers reached a tentative contract agreement with the district. Local union president Angela Bonilla.
We've improved class size and caseload language and shared decision-making committees involving educators and parents to ensure that our classes, when they need to become larger, have the supports they need.
Watch out for the boss if you're planning to let your fingers do the shopping at work today. It's Cyber Monday, and retail analysts like Burke Flickinger expect online shopping to dwarf in-store sales again this year.
For Cyber Monday to exceed over $10 billion is quite significant as the trend in shopping goes to e-tail or cyber or online retail.
Snowy, stormy weather still delaying the return for some Thanksgiving travelers. Overall, the AAA's Doug Shoup says numbers were up about 3% over last year.
This Thanksgiving travel weekend really just is indicative of what we have seen all year long, which is a strong demand for travel. As more people feel comfortable to get out there and see the world again and reconnect with friends and family again since the pandemic.
The Vatican says Pope Francis is on intravenous antibiotics to treat a lung inflammation. He canceled yesterday's weekly window appearance in St. Peter's Square. S&P futures are down 4. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities in Marinette are reopening a 37-year-old cold case. The Sheriff's Department is asking for any new leads in the murder of David Hunter. Investigators say he was killed at a makeshift camp in the woods near Niagara in 1987. The sheriff's office is not saying why it's reopening the case now. Disability-related complaints with the Federal Department of Transportation are on the rise this year. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says airlines can't keep putting off becoming more accessible.
The baby boomers are aging rapidly. More and more of us will be disabled. This is no longer an issue that's pushed off to the corner of the desk. This is front and center.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks with a comeback win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down 26 points, but came back to win 108-102 over the Portland Trailblazers at Fiserv Forum. It was the largest come-from-behind win in the NBA so far this season. At one point, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored on a tip-in, then ran the length of the court and blocked a shot for a basket by Portland. Head coach Adrian Griffin.
He's one of the greatest players to play this game. and he showed it tonight.
The Bucks play in Miami tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers are back at practice today. Their next game is Sunday night at Lambeau Field against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, yesterday, the Chiefs were down 14-0 to the Raiders. They came back to win, though, 31-17. College football, the Badgers finished out the regular season with a 28-14 win in Minnesota. Running back Braylon Allen rushed for 165 yards and scored 2 touchdowns.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy and a little chilly today. We'll get to around 22 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 10 to 20, and that's going to keep the wind chill factor in the single digits here for a pretty good chunk of the day. Clear tonight, 8 above. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 25. By Wednesday, sunny with a high back up to near 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday, November 27th. We have almost run out of Novembers here, but it's another beautiful but cold morning to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're joining us on one of the Facebook pages or by podcast, we appreciate that as well. Hope you had an enjoyable, relaxing, long weekend. Maybe you did have to work. Maybe you didn't get the full weekend to relax, but I hope you got a few minutes to take a breath and enjoy some friends and family and start to get in the right frame of mind for the holiday season. The weather is certainly helping us do that. I've got a question for you. Have you seen our redesigned website and newsletter? We kind of snuck that in over the past week or so. A complete remake of our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Also the same with our email, a daily newsletter. And again, you can sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. Be sure you check that out and see what all of us at Up North News are doing to bring you Wisconsin stories and headlines. As for our radio show here, here's what's on tap this morning. We're going to review the many events of a busy Thanksgiving weekend, of course. One of the stories that might not have been noticed, but I'm going to call attention to, involves the latest round of pardons from Governor Tony Evers. He's not the only governor with a big increase in pardon activity. And it's a move that shows a clear contrast to someone like former Governor Scott Walker, whose claims of piety were overshadowed by putting tough-on-crime politics ahead of the lives of people who'd put their lives back on the right track. We'll ask if Cyber Monday is still a thing. Is online shopping so ubiquitous now that there's nothing novel about internet purchases on the Monday after Thanksgiving? We'll talk about ways to do your online browsing at places that benefit Wisconsin merchants. And Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will join us with three things you need to know to start the week. And Selena Heller tells us more about what she's done over the weekend and stories that she's covered for Up North News. That would include her annual tradition of working the turkey trot in Eau Claire on Thanksgiving morning. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, our phone number is 844-967-2789. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also do those things off the Civic Media app if that's not on your phone. It really should be. Go download that wherever you get your apps. You can listen to all of the various Civic Media stations because they're not all playing the same show at the same time. You can pick one of them as your favorite station. Allen. Occasionally, it means that you can listen to sports on there as well. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching again on the Facebook pages of Up North News or Civic Media, well, put a comment there. We may see it and put it up on screen and respond to it as well. All right, now the temperatures that I'm going to read off to you at 6 a.m. across the state are chilly. Then subtract pretty much 10 off of that number, and you'll get the wind chill, as wind chills are in the single digits, and some are even below zero. So again, if it's the first day back at school for kids and they were not properly bundled for the bus stop last week for this morning's weather, pay extra attention to where the hats and the mittens are. It's 13 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward reporting 12 right now. Park Falls 11. Wausau 14. Green Bay 18. La Crosse is coming in at 21 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids 13. Oshkosh 16 degrees right now. In Madison, it is 21. And it is 18 degrees right now in Waukesha, where we find Greg Bach. The puppy, what is it? Proud Doggo Papa is how he's billing himself today. Big news. The puppy is here. The puppy is here. Mr. Bach, good morning. Have you slept at all?
I have slept a little bit. You know, because of the show, I have to go to bed at a relatively early time. I did go to bed a little bit later last night, but I did get some sleep. I woke up this morning hoping that our little girl, her name is Maybell, hoping that she had herself a moment to herself. She was having a hard time going to the bathroom. She's very new. Mm-hmm. It was a long drive. She was shaking a lot on the way home. Aww. And so we were just trying to be the gentlest, you know, encouraging. You know, we're not mm-hmm. going to, you know, it was, I was telling you, we got her in the house. I showed her on. I put her down. She took about five steps and had an accident right on the floor. But you know what? I'll take it.
You know things are working.
That's, yeah, exactly.
That's the thing.
That's what I care about. And I got to the studio this morning. I got a text from my wife, and she just goes, "She peed." So
like many new parents, you know, there's this fixation with, you know, what they did and how did it go and everything else. But again, that's an important thing. You don't need a big old expensive vet bill right off the top.
No.
So Maybell. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
And is Maybell like in her own little puppy bed, or is she going to be, you know, up on your bed at night? How's that going
to
work?
For right now, she wants to be on her own. She's got a corner in the kitchen she really likes. She went right to it. In fact, we thought we lost her when we got it. I was putting some stuff down. And I'm like, where's the dog? And we looked all over the house, and she's in the corner of the dining area of the kitchen. And so we put her bed down there. We snuggled with her last night. Mm-hmm. For a little while, but then it was time for bed, so we just put her in the corner where she liked it, put the bed there. She was there all night. She didn't really wander a whole lot. She's still kind of getting the lay of the land. But what was great is when I took her out this morning, instead of standing there looking at me like, "What do you want me to do, you idiot?" She explored a little, so she's getting more relaxed, which is making me feel more calm and comfortable, because I want her to be happy. And
that's nice. Yeah. I mean, because it's especially tough. I mean, I don't think you could have picked a much more difficult time to bring a puppy home than at the start of winter.
Yeah.
You know, when you got to go outside and, you know, she's got to learn where to go and what to do and everything else. And, you know, the one dog that we had many years ago when our kids were young was an April pickup. And that was a lot easier, I got to admit, you know, in the springtime. Well, you know, except in the pouring rain. But that's you know, that's just how it is with puppies. So we are looking forward to plenty of Maybell updates. And congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
Proud little doggo papa.
That's me.
Yeah. Did you Thanksgiving dinner itself? Did you fill up?
Oh my God, Pat.
You filled up a lot?
Well, here's the problem with my family, and I've said this for probably going on 15 years now. Mm-hmm. We do too many apps beforehand. I mean, there's hummus, there's dip, there's chips, there's this, there's that, shrimp. Everything's just coming out one after another. I'm like, this is so not efficient. Then you go to the table and you get a plate of food. And by the time I'm not full, I'm in pain. And then someone has the audacity to be like, who wants pie? Get out of my house.
with my wife's side of the family, thankfully, it does work the other way. When you walk in, you know, dinner's ready.
Yeah.
Have this big dinner. And then, you know, after a little bit of football or conversation or playing cards, there's all kinds of, I guess they're not really appetizers if they're afterwards, but there's all kinds of, you know, dips and and little sides and things like that. So I thought it worked out well. It always works well when you can just, I can play the part of the uncle in the recliner and just kind of pretend to be nodding off as I'm listening to the nieces and nephews and listening to the football game. And it was nice to have the Packers do well in Detroit.
Yeah.
We didn't really have the bar set high for that game, but it worked out really well.
They cleared it well. Now, are you the kind of uncle when you walk in the room, do you snap your finger and be like, that's my chair, get out?
No, I wouldn't do that, but we're always early to things. And so I saw that chair available and that was mine right from the get go. So even when I got up once or twice, I'd come back and nobody had jumped in the chair. I'm like, okay,
you respect. You marked your territory.
That's right. Apparently I did, just like Maybell. Yeah,
exactly.
I learned from the best. Packers did well over the weekend. The Badger football team did well over the weekend, beating the Gophers to win back Paul Bunyan's axe. So now we wait to see where the Badgers go for a bowl. I think we'll find that out today, unless I've missed something and it came out already. But they're talking about the Music City Bowl in Nashville, maybe a game in Tampa. Either way, it's probably up against an SEC team. If you're looking ahead to next season, the Badgers already know that their home opener will be Labor Day weekend on that Saturday against Western Michigan. That'll be on August 31st. Back to the Packers. They didn't have Aaron Jones. They didn't have a lot of players on the injured list, and they'd had that nightmare four-game losing streak, but it has since been followed up by Green Bay winning three of its last four, putting them at 5 wins and 6 losses for the season. And now, fortunately, they're in this 10-day window to get everybody healed up because their next game is next Sunday night, December 3rd, and that's at Lambeau against Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. Then that'll be followed by a Monday night game, December 11th in New York against the Giants. You can hear Packer games on the Civic Media Radio Network on WRCO-FM, Radio from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country WCQM in Park Falls. The Badger volleyball team swept Nebraska on Friday, giving Nebraska their first loss of the season. They then went on to sweep Iowa on Saturday. And so next for the Badger women's volleyball team, they are hosting the NCAA tournament. And it begins this Thursday at the Fieldhouse. Both Wisconsin and Nebraska are among the four number one seeds in their respective brackets. And the Badgers will open up against Jackson State on Thursday at 7:30. As for basketball, to the Bucks, Damian Lillard acknowledged that his first game against his former team felt a little different at first, but he threw in 31 points. Giannis had 33. The Bucks overcame a 26-point deficit at one time to beat the Portland Trail Blazers on Sunday, 108-102. Lillard had played his first 11 seasons in Portland. He sealed the victory by making 4 free throws in the final 10 seconds. They next play tomorrow in Miami at 6:30 as part of that in-season tournament. It's the last of the 4 group play games. The Bucks lead their group, and so a win would simply clinch it. And then they'll surely be among 8 teams that advance to the knockout round that starts a week from tonight, as we then try to explain the in-season tournament once again to casual NBA fans. Let's take a break. When we unpack the news, we will take a look at Governor Evers and the power of the pardon, the power of compassion as well. This is Up North News Radio for a Monday. Back in a bit.
The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Seven lonely days and a dozen towns ago.
I am not the world's biggest Elvis Presley fan, so I don't mind telling you when there's an Elvis song I like, I'm going to call attention to it. And Kentucky Rain is definitely one of them. And it's part of our history lesson coming up a little bit later this hour. Not for Elvis, but for the person who wrote it, which you may not guess until you hear a little bit later on coming up this hour. At 6:21, let's unpack the news. There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot to unpack, so let's give it a shot here. Let's start with another round of pardons from Governor Tony Evers. And a lot of people learned about this, probably maybe not from Wisconsin media, but from a national Associated Press story calling attention to governors in several states who have increased the use of the pardon. I should say governors of both parties, Democratic and Republican. The governor announced late last week that he had granted another 96 pardons, bringing his total number of pardons to 1,029. This round of pardons breaks the Wisconsin record for the most pardons granted by a governor in state history, surpassing former Governor Julius Hiles' record of pardoning 943 people in the late 30s and early 40s. Down in Missouri, there's Governor Mike Parson, who was a rural sheriff for 12 years, and this Republican governor has now pardoned more than 600 people in the past 3 years, more than any other Missouri governor since the early 1940s. Here's what Parson said to the AP. He said, "I still believe in law and order. I believe criminals need to be treated as such, and they've got accountability. But it doesn't mean they're a criminal all their life. I think you've got to be able to look at it," he said. And here's how Evers put it. "Since reestablishing the pardon process," and I'm going to come back to that in a minute, "since reestablishing the pardon process during my first term, it's been a privilege to hear about the lives, the hard work, and the contributions of so many to overcome their past mistakes, seek redemption and forgiveness, and give back to their communities. Hearing about these individuals' stories and their efforts to make amends has been extraordinary." And at the federal level, President Joe Biden last year pardoned thousands of people convicted of marijuana possession and encouraged other governors to do the same. This is good just on its face. As you read the stories of these people who have not been in prison for some time now, they've been getting on with their lives, they've been making careers. Sometimes they get to a roadblock because of what's on their record. They maybe are seeking a professional license as maybe a counselor to help other people from, you know, prevent other people from going down the path that they did. But their record might prevent that professional license from happening. And so that's part of the power of the pardon. It is not an expungement. It does not wipe the record clean. I'll give you the details on that in a second. But I think just the whole notion of this is not just good on its face, but it is such a trolling of other governors, other executives, other politicians with their so-called tough-on-crime approach. In our case here in Wisconsin, it's a trolling of Scott Walker and his idea of Christian behavior. Here's a guy who tweets a Bible verse most days and then spends the rest of the day engaged in juvenile banter online that insults anyone, frankly, who voted for this guy who once pretended to be a moderate Christian suburban dad, rather than what he's turned into, a right-wing politician whose ego and ambitions were far greater than his talents and achievements. But of course, he, and I'm sure other Republicans, will talk about these pardons as if these are people being released from death row for murder, when pardons go to the people who've long ago been released from prison. They have a track record now, a proven, tangible record of getting their lives back on a good path. But as I mentioned, maybe they can't get a professional license. So they turn to a governor in their state. They go through an exhaustive process. In Wisconsin, individuals convicted of a felony can apply if they completed their sentence at least 5 years ago and have no pending criminal charges. And by the way, individuals registered on the sex offender list are ineligible for a pardon. And again, a pardon is an official act of forgiveness that restores some of the rights that were lost, like being able to serve on a jury or run for elected office or hold professional licenses. It does not wipe the record clean. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of people working hard to put their lives in a good place during Scott Walker's 8 years in office. And he pardoned absolutely zero of them, treating every one of them like their past misdeeds earned a life sentence. That big fat zero on pardons was nothing more than a pathetic attempt to prove to be some kind of tough guy. And I'll acknowledge that it only takes one of these people getting a pardon to screw up, and other politicians will pounce and say, see? The same as they do when only one immigrant messes up. They want to shut all the borders, or only one welfare recipient gets too much help and they want to shut down the program. It's just punching down, which is what some politicians only seem to be able to do in order to appeal to their base. And so why, Pat, why are you spending so much time on this? Because I have no doubt, even though Governor Evers has already won re-election and the pardon matter didn't come up much in his campaign, I still think it's important to note that when you hear politicians talking about being tough on crime, there is room for that. There is a role for that. But there is also a role for compassion and forgiveness and for acknowledging that people can turn over a new leaf. One more note from the state capitol, and this one is also a bit infuriating in terms of the behavior by some folks in the big old marble building there. Two Wisconsin tribes are right to be frustrated about Republican legislators who have withheld grant funding while distributing millions to every other tribe in the state. Governor Evers said last Monday he would formally request that the Joint Finance Committee release money to the Lac des Flambeaux and the Bad River Bands of Lake Superior Chippewa. The money comes as part of a grant program created in the most recent state budget. In other words, the money has been approved. The legislature has voted to approve these funds, especially since the money comes from gaming revenue that was derived by the tribe. But then the reallocation of funds is what's being held up by members, Republican members of the legislature. All eight Republicans recently voted against providing $1 million each to the two tribes. What's going on with this? Well, if you've followed the show earlier this year, you're aware that there was a dispute with the Lac des Flambeaux and the town nearby of Lac des Flambeaux when it came to accessing non-tribal land within the reservation. And the co-chairs, Mark Bourne and Howard Markline of the Joint Finance Committee, wrote a letter saying, while we respect their autonomy as a tribe, we must respect the taxpayers who are suffering as a result of the tribe's decisions. They have prevented access to private properties, levied unreasonable fees on local municipalities, and are causing skyrocketing property taxes due to their actions. And then there was something similar involving the Bad River. In other words, this is a shakedown. That's what it is. This is money that is approved, but to try to tie it to another matter is just shameful. So we wanted to call attention to that money that's being held up. Kristen Lyerly joins us next. You're up north.
Finally got a ride
with a preacher man who asked, were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon?
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. This is the fourth and final day of a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, and we're expecting a fourth hostage-prisoner exchange. CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
The president had a call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He says he told Biden that he would welcome an extension of the temporary ceasefire in exchange for the release of an additional 10 Israeli hostages per day.
A suspect is expected to be arraigned today in the shootings of three University of Vermont students of Palestinian descent. This woman lives in Burlington.
Pretty disconcerting. We live in a very family-oriented neighborhood.
Police say one of the students was seriously wounded. The three-week teachers' strike is over in Portland, Oregon. Union President Angela Bonilla.
We have stronger protections for students and educators from environmental hazards like extreme temperatures and mold.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County leaders say they're pleased with the deal to sell about 2 square miles of Mount Pleasant's Wisconsin Innovation Park to Microsoft. They tell the Journal Sentinel it will put the business park built for Foxconn on firm financial footing. Microsoft is buying $100 million in land. It would pay enough taxes over the years to cover the cost of the tax district's debt. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Partly cloudy and a little chilly today. We'll get to around 22 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 10 to 20, and that's going to keep the wind chill factor in the single digits here for a pretty good chunk of the day. Clear tonight, 8 above. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 25. By Wednesday, sunny with a high back up to near 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If anyone knows what's on tap, It's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap, UK, UK, UK.
We're going to be talking about a Beatles album released this day coming up in today's history lesson. But first, on this Monday, as Greg does his best Dave Grohl impression drumming for us, Kristen Lyerly joins us as well. Dr. Lyerly, oops, let me hit that button there. How are you?
Good morning. Are you the Eggman, or is Greg the Eggman?
I thought he was the walrus.
Cuckoo-ga-choo.
So you've spent your holiday weekend working elsewhere. Last time you were there, you wanted to see the Packers game, and you went to a place and you asked the bartender to put one of the TVs on the Packer game, and of course up in northern Minnesota, this bartender said no in so many words. That I think you had better luck this time with the Packers on Thanksgiving, right?
Well, that was the first time. And then the second time I discovered that the Duluth media market, which is different than the Twin Cities media market, was showing the Packer game that week. Mm-hmm. This week, we all sat together in unity against the Detroit Lions.
Nice.
And it was a beautiful moment.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And honestly, like, what a game from the very beginning. The first pass, my heart just went, wow, this is the game we've all been waiting for.
Yes, very much so. It was good to watch. You know what else was good to watch? Was that game between the Badgers and the Gophers, which you also have a running interest in.
Oh, man, that's my favorite game of the year. Mm-hmm. And didn't the Gophers throw in the towel at the end of the third quarter? It was like they just got mad and they just, like, quit playing.
I thought they played well and just got outplayed in that particular game, but I don't want to give the Badgers too much credit. They've had plenty of, you know, down moments during the year. But did you like how the Gophers, despite losing to the Badgers, despite getting only 5 wins, still managed to sneak into a being bowl eligible only because, and this is, I know it's getting in the weeds here, but you appreciate this.
I do.
It was like midnight or 1 a.m. that Colorado State lost on, was it a field goal or a missed field goal? And as a result, they didn't get the 6 wins either. And there weren't enough 6-win teams for all of the bowl games that are out there. So then they turn to the 5-win teams, and they go, and this was refreshing. They go, whose team has the best academic record? And they're the one, the Gophers, were number one on that list in the country.
Yeah! So
they weren't winning the games, but they were cracking the books. So,
you know, my thought on this is that, like, if this had happened to the Badgers, my thought was we'd be like, hey, we're in a bowl and we're smart. This is great. That is not the reaction that I'm getting from my friends in Minnesota. They seem a little perplexed and saddened.
Oh, there's all this talk about we should turn down the invitation. We shouldn't go to a bowl game because we only won 5 games. Like, okay. That's not how this works. There's this thing called revenue that every team gets mm-hmm. when they get to go to a bowl game, little national exposure. So
Was it a beautiful thing to see the players carrying that axe around?
I like
and then
that every year.
Chopping it down. Oh, I love it.
You see those players; they just run like crazy for the axe. And you know, now this time around, the visiting team won. Whenever the home team wins, of course, it's just this huge deal. And it was just a good weekend all around. Mm-hmm. You were busy working for most of it. Did you get some time to relax and enjoy the Iron Range as well?
I got a little tired. It's cold out here. It's like -8 right now with the wind chill. It's real cold.
Yikes.
Yeah. It was such a reminder at the hospital this weekend about rural healthcare and how it's not low risk healthcare. Mm-hmm. It is actually high risk healthcare, and there's a lot of scrambling and staffing issues because we don't have enough people, doctors, nurses, you know, people to work in these areas, but that doesn't mean that people don't need healthcare. So we saw a lot of really sick people, had to transfer a couple of babies out, and, you know, just a real challenge, a very different environment than where most of us train.
And I think it's, again, a reminder for many of us that we are fortunate to live in the places where we live, where we have access to this kind of health care. The parallel to that would have been, you know, our 3 years living in the Caribbean on an island where, again, for all the nice things about it, there were things that some days there weren't, you know, you were short on things, including mm-hmm. medical supplies, including specialists in some area or not. And, you know, if the weather wasn't good and there wasn't a flight out, you had patients, including babies, you know, who they were trying to keep alive till they could get them out or until they could get, you know, blood platelets, you know, shipped in or whatever the case may be. And that's rural America right now, is seeing what mm-hmm. places in other countries have had to experience. And, you know, it's a heck of a way to have to appreciate what you've got when you see other people who do not.
And when you see the impact of all of the social issues that we're dealing with and the political issues that we're dealing with, and then you combine that with low health literacy, people who don't really, they haven't sought prenatal care for whatever reason, they haven't been able to afford it, they have other issues, they're afraid to get entangled in the legal system, maybe drug use or other situations like that. And you're trying your best to take care of these people who have all of these complicated problems. And they're fighting back because, you know, they're hearing all of these negative messages in the media. It's just a really challenging environment to work in. And talking with the nurses afterwards, who, of course, you know, I get to put all the orders in, but the nurses have to carry them out. There's so much frustration and so much talk about, is this really worth it? And they feel, you know, deeply committed to taking care of their patients, but there's only so much they can do.
Right. We've talked about that in other states and, frankly, communities in Wisconsin where you say, mm-hmm. yeah, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be doing it. But at what price at some point, you know, with mm-hmm. the lack of resources or the lack of support or what have you. So, I mean, we just continue to call attention to it, hoping that lawmakers and policymakers will take these things seriously. But it seems our lawmakers have other things to worry about. So there I am.
Watching, what a setup.
There I am watching.
He's good at this.
I'm watching public TV last night because there was a show called Great Scenic Railway Journeys or something. And I'm a sucker for railroad trips. I've been on a few of them. I love train travel. And so I'm watching this, and there's a bit there about the National Railroad Museum, you know, in Northeast Wisconsin, and, you know, what a jewel it is. And meanwhile, the congressman from that area and Fox News and all the other right-wing media are trashing on it for its holiday displays. And I'm not going to give the punchline yet here. I'm just going to say that along with all of the, you know, religious-themed displays, there was a group that said, well, we would like to have a display as well. And here's what, you know, here was their message from this group. We believe that everybody should be included, regardless of their religious group, regardless of any business or organization that they're a part of. So we don't want to discriminate. I was getting to the group that also said something similar. Like, we just want there not to be discrimination. We want their people to get along. And that would have all sounded very fine. But of course, the group, I think for tongue-in-cheek reasons, referred to itself as what? The Satanic Organization or the Satanic Temple of Wisconsin. Wow. Did right-wing media have something to talk about now, you know, in terms of ginning up controversy?
You know, Pat, it wasn't all of right-wing media. This is the curious thing. So I spent a lot of time, I'm just going to go ahead and admit this, I was watching Fox News last night. I like to do that every once in a while. It's kind of level setting. So I was watching and I was aware of the situation. You and I had talked about it a little. And they were talking about it. And they actually, there was this panel of four talking heads, and they actually came to the conclusion that, you know, it's their First Amendment right to put it out there. And if people don't want to see it, and one of the commentators said, if people in this little town don't want to go there, then they can move. And mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, okay. So they kind of disagreed with our congressman.
Well,
who
let's
had
listen,
a lot to say.
Let's listen to the congressman who appeared on Fox News at the same time as former Congressman Sean Duffy, who guest hosts on there occasionally with his wife. And so here were Duffy. You're mostly going to hear Gallagher. You're going to hear Duffy at the very end talking about this. And this is what they're focused on these days.
The really shame of it is, Sean, every year the National Railroad Museum does something very interesting and cool and fun for kids, which is they do a big screening of Polar Express, and you're surrounded by all the trains, and it's a cool, fun thing to take your kids to. But now I wouldn't take my kids to it. Now I don't want them to be surrounded by satanic trees. The local reporting has been insufficient. So the whole thing is absurd. And I would say one final thing. Conservatives are often accused of launching a culture war or focusing or fixating on cultural issues. Yeah. But here is a perfect example of how that's not what's happening. What's happening is we're just trying to defend basic traditions or defend our children in the midst of these basic traditions from the encroachment of woke ideology or there offensive upside-down cultural propaganda. And so the whole thing is a shame. I thought that Northeast Wisconsin was at least immune to something that you might see in New York or California. But we need to be vigilant as parents.
Well,
but let's be honest. I mean, he should know what is in California because that is actually where Mike Gallagher grew up.
Ooh. And he's talking to... Go ahead.
I was going to say, Greg. Northeastern Wisconsin, they're all about freedom of expression and freedom of religion, and I applaud them for doing it.
Mm-hmm. A post from anonymous Miss Badger writes about about Gallagher and Duffy. Oh my God, watching these two talking to each other is like watching a goldfish gape at its own reflection.
And if you don't think I'm starting a band called the Satanic Trees, please, people, that's amazing.
Now, again, here's the right quote. The organization's mission is, quote, to encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits. And again, if it had any other name, people would be saying, oh, what a nice group. But, you know, when you call yourselves the Satanic Temple, now you've suddenly got a controversy about, you know, the need to defend our children and defend our traditions. And by the way, quick side note, I finally finished reading that book about Hubert Humphrey and the civil rights movement in the late 1940s. And again, that's such a code word, you know, defend our traditions is such a way to say, you know, it's just for us white guys only and or us Christians only. And that's just a sad commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a sad commentary. And I think it's important to note that this is not the only tree that's there. There are many trees. Most of them are not necessarily Christian. They are sponsored by local businesses. There's even a tree there from a local group that supports trans and LGBTQ kids. And they did mention that on Fox News, of course. Yep. But, you know, this is not a Christian event. This is an event where local organizations come and present positive messages for the holidays. And so it's appropriate. I mean, there's a great article in the Press Gazette written by Natalie Eilbert that Mike Gallagher also trashed in his moment on Fox News, where she very objectively talks about the purpose of this event. It's a huge fundraiser for the organization, and people frankly love it. And Green Bay is pushing back. Green Bay, the people who are talking about Tree Gate, they're calling it Tree Gate. They love it. I mean, they're very satisfied.
Well, they should be, because again, they get a chance to show off what I think are the more authentic community values, which include openness, certainly not hostility based on, you know, religion, creed, color, what have you. But in my mind, to take it to a, you know, just a blatantly political sphere, it again tells me that there are just some politicians who feel like the only way heading into 2024 that they're going to do well is to keep some people angry. Because I don't know that there's going to be more than a tiny minority of people thrilled to vote for Donald Trump. And the only way you get more people on that Republican ledger is if you give them something else to shake their fist at. And I guess if that's what you got to do, it's what you got to do.
It's a controversy.
No, cabin fever has set in.
Great callback. Something you talked about, though, Pat, before with regard to pardons and the idea of living that real Christian life of Jesus Christ's teachings and forgiveness and inclusion and acceptance. I mean, This is just him being, you know, nothing about this is Christian.
No, it's more about, again, the social gospel that was mentioned so much more frequently during the civil rights era. And again, giving people, especially people of privilege, you know, white, male, Christian, whatnot, giving them permission to not have to feel like they have to give in to all the peer pressure from their peers to discriminate and think of themselves as better than somebody else. And so this whole controversy, while somewhat ridiculous, has given us that opportunity to talk about that. And I appreciate that, Kristen, very much. You're going to stick around. Selena's going to join us as well. We're going to have today's history lesson coming up and then much more conversation on this Monday morning coming out of the holiday weekend. Wherever you're listening from across Wisconsin on this chilly Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Crank it. All right. Hey, good morning, Bob Look. Thanks for chiming in. And Roger, for your note about what Spectrum is doing with the Fox stations, I'm going to look into that and report back as well. Selena Heller joins us. Actually, Whiskers joins us. Selena's back there someplace as well. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How's everyone?
Good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Busy good. Days. Turkey trotting. We'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will. Jimi Hendrix was born on this day in 1942, so today would have been his 81st birthday. He passed away in 1970 at the age of 27. Happy birthday as well to Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah, here. Yeah, he's got a TV theme, right?
Yep.
Well, Kristen, I think you were a little old for Bill Nye at that point. Did you have a TV scientist or program that said I want to be in medicine?
No, but we watched a lot of Carl Sagan.
What about Mr. Wizard?
Oh, Cosmos.
Yeah, Carl Sagan, Mr. Wizard.
We've got our own in Wisconsin, Basham Shakashiri.
What?
Okay.
Whoa, how do you spell that?
Dr. Shakashiri. He does cool things with chemistry, fun with science. Oh, you guys.
Okay, Kristen, let's once talk. Again, finding topics and guests for us. We appreciate that. Let's see. Director Catherine Bigelow is 72 years old today. Eddie Rabbit was born on this day in 1941. You probably know him best for this chart topper.
Kristen's already dancing.
Yep.
Ooh, I was driving my life away.
Oh, that's where you were going? Okay.
Uh-huh.
You weren't going with him and Crystal Gayle going, just you and I.
I was not. Isn't it funny to think about him and Jimi Hendrix being almost the same age? It just doesn't compute in my head.
No. Eddie Rabbit born 1 year before Jimi Hendrix, and Eddie Rabbit passed away in 1998. Here's the thing about Eddie Rabbit. Before embarking on that recording career, he wrote songs, including, as we heard earlier, Kentucky Rain for Elvis Presley. That was Eddie Rabbit who wrote that one. Yeah.
Yep. There's a rain theme happening here with Eddie Rabbit.
I think so. All right. It's time for today's moment of schmaltz on this day in 19. You always laugh at that. I like that.
It's a moment of schmaltz.
That's my maiden name.
Well, I know. So it just works out so well that way, that somehow you were named after, you know, sappy romance. On this day in 1967, the Association had a hit that was certified gold. You ask me if
If you can see the picture I'm looking at of them, they look like an accounting firm. They don't look like a band.
No. The Association had a gold record on this day in 1967. This is the anniversary of the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade held in New York on this day in 1924. Can't say I've watched the Macy's Parade in some time now, but I understand we haven't talked yet about Dolly Parton at the Cowboys game singing, but apparently earlier in the day, Cher, who like Dolly is 77 years old, also apparently wowed the crowd with her performance earlier that day. So Thanksgiving Day was for, you know, 77-year-old rocking women.
Excellent.
And they did it well.
Did any of you see Dolly come out live during the halftime of the Cowboys game?
Just
come out dressed in the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders outfit?
And rocked it.
Yes. Today would be the first day Wall Street's open since then. Stock in Spanx is going to go through the roof today because it worked and it worked so well. But yeah, she did good. I noticed she had to constantly kind of hold on to something for, you know, support as I have to, and I'm not 77 yet. But you know, she did a great job with the tunes, and again. Between her and Cher, still getting it done. Also,
yeah,
on this,
look at Dolly. She's a little, you know, off balance. She's there's more weight on the top than on the bottom. So.
See, I'm not allowed to say
no comment. No comment.
I was talking about her wig.
The men are moving on. Also on this day,
I respect Dolly Parton. Okay,
she's a great entertainer.
Back to 1967, the Beatles released Magical Mystery Tour, the soundtrack to their upcoming film, on this day. So we have been playing some other cuts off of the album throughout the morning here. The first care packages went out on this day in 1945. We use the term all the time, sending out a care package to somebody, and maybe you've forgotten the roots. CARE was a post-World War II entity. It stood for the Cooperative for American Remittances to Europe. And it was just a way for Americans to send food relief and other supplies to Europe after the Second World War. So the care package began this day in 1945.
Well, that's interesting.
Oh, wait. I got more schmaltz here. Lionel Richie. Now, he had already been to the top of the charts with the Commodores, with Three Times a Lady and Still. He'd been to the top of the charts with Diana Ross doing Endless Love. But on this day in 1982, he reached number one completely on his own with this solo hit. His love will last forever. All right, let's hit that high note and hurt ourselves, everybody. Truly in love with you now. My only quibble with the song. I would allow it. Okay. Would I? Yeah, I guess I'd allow it. Yes, but
wait, what was the question?
Is that Yacht Rock?
Truly, is that Yacht Rock?
I
like we have spent more time debating this than many other weighty matters of the world today. Yeah. So.
I don't know. Yeah, I think so, because like you could listen to Christopher Cross's Sailing right after this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good point. So truly, my only quibble with it is that it does, quibble. Especially in the beginning, sounds. Oh, sorry, old man alert. it does sound a lot like his other song, Still, that he sang with the Commodores. So if you put Still and Truly side by side, you'd go, are these the same song? I don't know. Selena, we're going to hear more about the turkey trot coming up after the top of the hour here. But is it something that you have done every year, or was this a one and done thing that you did on Thanksgiving morning?
No, I've been out there a handful of years. I kind of help organize it for our area. So bright and early. It's a busy couple days getting ready for it. There's so many people. So it's a good event.
I've run in one. Kristen, have you been part of a turkey trot at all?
I have not.
Greg?
Yes, I have.
Okay, there we go. So it's just Kristen's the outlier on this one. Wow.
The outlierly.
Oh, man. You can tell who owns a comedy club in this crew.
We've all been on a long weekend, haven't we?
he's raring to go.
Pause for news and these messages and more after this. You're up north.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.